You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
There was an article in the Otago Daily Times that caught my attention recently, and also the reaction it got from the public. The article was about an assault on a young woman by a man at Otago University. However, what caused a fair bit of outrage was the way the article was written and the headline used. Traumatic and humiliating attack on ex-girlfriend may end athlete's career was how the headline was published. It has since changed, most likely due to the public pressure put on the news outlet. The story focused on the defendant and his career prospects in rugby before addressing the crime itself and the lasting effects the victim has had to endure. We see a lot of similar stories when it comes to crime, especially when sports people are involved. Is it for headlines, clickbait, or is it part of a much bigger issue of sexism and gender equality in our country? I spoke with Professor Tony Bruce of the Auckland University, who is an expert in sports sociology, sports media and public relations. Professor Bruce's research has also looked at gender and race equality, as well as national identity and media theory. I started by asking the professor why we see news stories presented in this way.
Well, if you think about the stories that we see that actually make the media, because obviously there are lots of instances, unfortunately, of domestic abuse around New Zealand, it's to do with the newsworthiness of it. So because in New Zealand, athletes are among our major celebrities, anytime someone who has a name in sport or is playing one of our major sports, such as in this case rugby, then it becomes newsworthy to the media. And so hanging stories on someone who's either well-known or is associated with a field of society that we're interested in is a way of increasing the intensity or the importance of that kind of story. So they want people to read the story and pay attention to it. So I think a lot of it has to do with that, that our athletes are our national heroes and they're people that we are raised to believe we should look up to. So when they fall, their fall becomes much more important than the fall of somebody who is an everyday person.
We see a lot in especially crime stories when athletes are involved. Certain protections come in for the athletes, like name suppression and also the protection of their careers. Is there a reason why sports stars get these preferential treatments over ordinary people?
Well, I think it's maybe a bit of a false differentiation between athletes and ordinary people, because those applications for name suppression or the applications for discharge without conviction often are used by lawyers for anybody whose career may potentially be affected by having a conviction. So someone who might be going into teaching, someone who might want to go into law, someone who might want to join the police, for example, where a criminal conviction would actually end their opportunities, then the courts will often look at those with some favour. It's just that, again, because athletes are news, we don't necessarily hear all these other cases where similar kinds of applications are being made. You know, so I think, again, it's not necessarily the athletes are special, it's that we hear more about their experiences than we do of what we might or might not call ordinary people.
Following on from that, would it be fair to say that the image of the sport matters more when people are reporting on it than the experience in the aftermath that the victim has had to endure? But do they see that as the more attention-grabbing headlines?
I would say that unfortunately they do. Although there's a sort of another side to that, which is that you don't want to re-traumatise the victim. So the person who has made the complaint to police and has suffered, in this case, domestic violence or whatever it might be, at the hands of the individual who's the focus of the story, you don't want to re-victimise them. So often media will protect that person's identity because they don't want them to become the target. But at the same time, sport is very concerned with being seen as something that's positive and valuable, that is growing good young men and young women. So, yeah, sport itself is very interested in maintaining a certain image of sport as something that contributes to health and well-being and is good for the community. So there may be pressure to downplay such things. And I think in the past, you know, a lot of these things kind of did pass under the radar, but I really notice that now when athletes mess up, it is increasingly news and increasingly that coverage. Like the story that was in the OBT, I thought it actually did a pretty fair job of focusing on the experience of the victim and telling the story really clearly, almost in its whole, if you know what I mean. So I know you noticed that they focused on all the things that this person had achieved before they kind of went into the details of the case. But at the same time, it was pretty clear that the story was taking it seriously. So I have a feeling that, you know, the hashtag MeToo movement, the conviction of Jeffrey Epstein in the States, there's an increasing pushback against marginalising this kind of abuse. So I have a feeling that we're going to see more and more of these stories, and they will be taken more and more seriously from the perspective of the person who was the victim rather than the perpetrator. But I think, because again, I've covered crime as a reporter many years ago, and I do follow a lot of the scandals or experiences that happen in sport. And that story in some ways really interested me because it is one of the ones that I've seen that really does give the victim's experience almost like full voice, if you know what I mean. So historically, those kinds of things were kind of buried. They were mentioned, but then it moved on to the sport kind of focus. And so I do think that sort of story structure is suggesting that there is a move for change. How far we can push that and how far we can succeed with it is really the question, I think.
Would you agree, I don't know, in your personal experience, that in media and also our culture that we do have a systemic sexism?
I think sexism is systemic in pretty much every culture. So it's not, and I don't know, if you look at that story, for example, since we're kind of building around that, that was focused on two individuals. And so what tends to happen in societies like ours is that we individualise those cases. We don't necessarily always recognise them as structural problems or structural issues. And these individual cases are often not so much the individual's fault, but they're reflective of the kind of values, the media stories, the kind of things that we tell, in this case young men, what it really means to be a man. And so it's that cultural story that we tell ourselves that actually directs people into certain kinds of behaviours as thinking that those are normal ways to react.
We do see, and you mentioned it earlier, that maybe we just see it more often because it's sporting, but we do see domestic violence cases with our sporting athletes quite often. Is there anything being done to change this? Is there any education provided to these young athletes by any of the sporting governing bodies or anything like that?
Yeah, to my knowledge, most of the sports are really trying to engage with these issues. You're probably aware that New Zealand Rugby did their big Respect and Responsibility review a couple of years ago when they really admitted and agreed that there were some cultural problems in the culture of rugby, particularly around gender. But not only. And so what I really like about the way New Zealand Rugby approached that is that they didn't see it as a box-ticking exercise. So, you know, it wasn't a PR exercise. They actually recognised they had a deep structural issue that they needed to address, particularly around gender. And so they authorised and paid for this really in-depth and extensive review of the culture of rugby. And then they have really been actively taking it forward and trying to change their culture. So that's the kind of step that I think organisations have to take. The challenge with our major men's sports, which tend to be contact team sports, is that those sports teach men coming up through them particular kinds of values, which are about being hard, playing through pain, being always in control, and that includes control over women. So if it was easy to fix, we would have fixed it a long time ago. It's just really kind of deeply embedded in the culture, and then certain sports, like rugby and rugby league, for example, it's much more deeply embedded in how the sport is played and the values that are valued within it. And then the media, of course, The media coverage, the live coverage, the broadcast news coverage tends to valorise that. So we really love those hard men. You know, bring back Buck, for example, wanting Buck Shelford to come back because he was known as a hard man. So there's something about we as a culture also take great pleasure in seeing these hard men being hard men. Well, that doesn't necessarily contribute that positively towards gender equality or, you know, reducing the amount of gender violence that we see.
Absolutely. When men were men, isn't that the old phrase?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when men actually act in gender equal ways, they don't necessarily receive positive feedback from other men or sometimes even from women. And so that's why I say it's this issue of sort of gender equality, gender violence, women in leadership, media coverage of women's sport, all these things are specific examples of something that's much, much deeper and much, much more difficult to shift. Just to reiterate the point that we see media coverage of sports people in these kinds of situations of domestic violence or physical abuse against other men because they're public figures. So if you actually look at the data across the whole country, there's a lot of domestic violence, there is a lot of gender-based violence, there's a lot of male-to-male violence happening all the time. But it comes to our attention, it becomes publicly visible to us because athletes are among our most high-profile celebrities. And so when an athlete does something wrong, it becomes news. And so in a sense, it seems like there's more of it happening in sport because...
Classic journo question as well. Can I have a jaw?
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.